A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hark, dear traveler, for thou hast wandered far beyond the cinnamon hour and through the infinite dusk. Yet to pass unto the correct realm, you must answer this riddle. What is a pub and not a pub? What glows without fire and darkens with the light? My first is in pint, but also in glass. Tell me what I am to end your weary plight.
Ah, the moon underwater.
Sorry, I'm just reading from my to-do list. I've got to clean the well 4 times. I should probably... I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. There's a well here at the Moon Underwater. It's sort of a wishing well, but the problem is that all your wishes come true in the Moon Underwater, so I'm thinking of actually decommissioning the wishing well, because you can have too much of a good thing. And, you know, once the perfect pub has revealed itself, has revealed all your favourite drinks and all your favourite people, furnishings, brasses, music volume, music style. The last thing you want to do is chuck 50 quid down a wishing well, for goodness sake.
Is that...
Oh, I should put... It's minimum 50 quid for the
wishing
well. But
your wishes definitely come true.
Oh, yeah, they all come true. The only thing you can't wish for is less wishes.
Fewer wishes.
No, less wishes. You can't wish for less wishes. You can wish for fewer wishes, but you can't wish for less wishes because it's grammatically incorrect. See? With your fewer less. There's no fewer less in the Moon Underwater.
That's true, yeah. You never get corrected by an asshole like me.
We have fewer salt and less pounds. I don't know which one it is. I don't care. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters.
It does. I suppose everyone knows what you mean, don't they?
So a bit of tension in the Moon Underwater tonight, folks.
That's fine. That's why we're here.
That's why
you said you can't have too much of a, you can't have too much of a good thing. You can have too much of a good thing. You can't. Oh, you can have too much of a good thing.
Yeah.
Oh God. But the Moon Underwater is a good thing.
It is a good thing, and you can't have too much of it.
Right.
Even if you played every episode on a separate speaker system at full volume. At the same time. So like 50 sort of hi-fi systems playing the Moon Underwater.
Oh.
Hi-fi, God, I'm old. But I'm not old in the Moon Underwater.
Yeah, that would just sound like realm, 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 realm. Like that. That's what it would sound like.
Well, folks, welcome to the Moon Underwater. The pub that... I think it's the only pub in the correct realm, actually. There's quite a few different things in the correct realm, but this is the only pub, certainly the only licensed pub. There's a few shebeens, a few Backdoor Brews, but this is the only licensed pub, and this is the pub where we invite guests to create their dream hostelry and to stock it so. I am the landlord, John Robbins, and sitting at the bar in his favourite pew is regular the lovely Robin Allender. And Robin, how do we find thee?
I find me well, actually. Me very well. Yeah, a lot of wells going on. Do the wells have beer in them or water?
Depends what you wish.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
you can wish for fewer beer in the well, or you can wish for less cans of beer in the well. It's up to you. Or you can wish for more. Yeah. And more's the same, whatever you're talking about, isn't it? You can have more salt and more salt and more items.
Yes, yeah, you can. Yeah, but I'm fine, thanks, John. How are you?
Well, 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 well. All right. I'm okay. I mean,
yeah.
I've had a few nights off booze here at the Moon Underwater due to factors, which is important, folks, to have some nights off.
Especially at this time of the year.
Especially at this time of the year. However, it does mean I'm often in bed by 7.
7?
Yeah.
And asleep?
No, God, no. I didn't get to sleep till 3 a.m. the other night. Been in bed for 8 hours.
What are you doing? Watching telly with that weird table thing over the bed that you got from an old person's home?
No, it tends to go. I put on on YouTube, they have sort of classical music playlists, and I'll put on, you know, 9 hours of Chopin.
Is this to help you sleep or to help you relax?
That's just to relax, and I'll do cryptic crosswords.
All right. I'm getting very into cryptic crosswords at the moment.
Are you?
I'm really enjoying them, yeah. Although, do you do the Times?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing the Guardian ones. I'm trying to learn them by sort of doing the reveal thing and working them out backwards.
Yeah, reverse engineering.
Parsing them, yeah. It's good fun.
Yeah, so then I'll read a book, and then I'll maybe watch an episode of The American Office, and then I'll listen to Blackadder and Sherlock Holmes for about 5 hours whilst trying to get to sleep. But it's all good fun. It's all good fun.
Yeah. It sounds like you need to wear yourself out more a bit, you know.
I do. I probably need to exercise. That's the vibe, really. Have we had any Publi Missed mail, Robin?
We have had Publi Missed mail, to be quite honest with you, John.
And just to remind you, folks, you can send us missed mail, because our mail here is brought through a sort of cloud of vapour, and you can send it to john@moonunderpod.com. And some of the top topics are pubs we've loved, pubs we've lost, pub anecdotes. What are some of the other topics, the running topics, Rob?
Pubs we have been to, pubs we might go to, pubs that are kind of we've recommended that then people have gone to.
And great pub names, unusual pub names.
Yeah, well, there's an ongoing discussion about kind of independent kind of breweries going on in the Mist sack at the moment.
Oh, great. Tell me more.
I will, but first off, I'll do it. It's a kind of Mist tweet from Alex Henry, who says, I'm sure Robin and John will be pleased to hear that the Crown Posada in Newcastle reopened today. So that, as we're saying this, this was 8th of December, when it's open. So that's good news, isn't it? Crown Posada, one of your faves?
Yeah, I've had so many people. So I was just opening a pint from the draft bar here at the Moon Underwater. I've had so many messages to say the Crown Posada is reopening. And also, I think it's been granted special status, sort of securing its future. It's a pub in Newcastle. It's one of the great pubs. And it's... Mm. You know, there's a backbone of pubs I've been to, all different vertebrae, that sort of really represent what I think pubs should be. And the Crown Posada in Newcastle is one of them. The Dagda in Edinburgh is another. The Harp in London is another. What would be a good example in Bristol?
Highbury Vaults.
Highbury Vaults in Bristol. Yeah, there's a few in Bristol. There's also one in Nottingham, which I always forget.
Oh, the one where it's got the... It's kind of got an almost mezzanine level around the top.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you sent me a photo and I recognised it immediately. It's a brilliant pub.
Now, people might be screaming at their own minds, ye old trip to Jerusalem, but it's not that pub.
No.
I'm just going to I'm just going to sort of imagine it in my mind now.
Sure.
And then try... There's definitely... I put it on Instagram years and years and years and years ago in the depths of time.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
You carry on and I'll find this.
Yeah. Okay, well, this is a mist we had a couple of weeks ago, but it's a kind of well-timed mist because this one was from Joe, and he said, "Hi, John and Robin." And he mentions in his message here, "It would be good to hear your opinion of my local in Ashley Down, Bristol, and if you've had the pleasure to frequent it, the Lazy Dog, previously the Ashley Arms." Well, Joe, if you heard our episode with Mike Bubbins, you'll have heard me wax lyricalis about the Lazy Dog and about my slightly mad thing I used to do when I worked and cycled up Gloucester Road and to make sure I had a really dry mouth when I got to the Lazy Dog. But yeah, I love the Lazy Dog. Staff are just fantastic there. They've always got really good range of beers on, really nice garden, really good gig upstairs as well, a stand-up gig, which I'm not sure if that's happening again after the pandemic. I'm sure it is. Yeah, really good spot. And I used to love cycling to Bath. And if you do Bath and back in a day, when you kind of end up on Muller Road, another big steep hill, and you make your Lazy Dog the destination, it really is absolutely stunning after a day of cycling. Brilliant pub.
It's the Malt Cross.
The Malt Cross in Nottingham. Yeah, it's a good spot. We've also had an email here, which is about Ringwood Brewery again. "Chaps," this is from Paul in St. Leonard's-on-Sea. "As soon as I heard you mention Dorset's Ringwood Brewery, my lips smacked at the memory of the tour there and the free unlimited pints of fresh beer on offer." Wow.
Oh, that's a good tour. You don't want little tumblers. You want unlimited pints.
Could you just stay there for the rest of your life? The Marston's ownership means supermarket bottles and whatever is nationally distributed is produced under license with their recipe in a big steel vat somewhere. But the original brewery and the local pubs it serves still produce the fine product as intended. So to all curious drinkers, it's worth travelling, finding out what's made where and trying it at the point of origin, lest you be homogenised. Yours in amber ecstasy, Paul." That's a lovely mist. Thank you, Paul. And that's quite a good way of thinking of it, I think.
Yeah, but also, what's the phrase about steel vats?
Well, he's saying that once you get out away from the origin,
yeah,
it's brewed to that recipe in a big steel vat somewhere.
But that shouldn't be disparaging because the vast majority of all beer is brewed in a steel vat.
I don't think he's being particularly pejorative about the steel vat.
Okay, okay.
I just think he's saying, you know, it's brewed en masse somewhere to the same recipe, but you can also get it kind of brewed locally nearby where it's brewed, if you see what I mean. Yeah. Another mist?
Yes, please.
This one's from Stuart. "London pubs" is the subject. You've really raised my mind. "Hello, Robins and Robin. What an evening we had exploring the East End of London last weekend. Being Lake District folks, we like an ale rather than an overly floral craft ale, and having been up west many times, we were bored with London pubs until we came across the Ark of the Covenant itself, the incredible pride of Spitalfield." I don't believe I've ever been there, John, have you?
No, I don't think I have been to the pride of Spitalfield, but I'm going to look
go
it
there.
Up
Sounds
in my
great.
Mind right now.
"What a pub," Stuart goes on, "and what pints were supped. Crouch Vale's 4% Brewer's Gold is a delightful ale that unfortunately slips down far too well. My lovely wife Jane had organised the weekend and took me to have a pint in the nearby Jack the Ripper famous 10 Bells." Yeah, that's not that great. "Nice enough, but music to perforate the eardrums and a £7 lager was not a good start to a weekend away." I have a feeling if you read From Hell, the Alan Moore book about Jack the Ripper, I have a feeling that towards the end of that book he goes into the 10 Bells, as in Alan Moore goes into it. "When we left, she said, 'I have to show you this.' We turned the corner and the pub revealed itself, a vision of backstreet boozer perfection. The decor of the bar is something to behold and the locals couldn't have been more welcoming. I can't believe there are still pubs in London selling a pint for £4.10. Highly recommended, Stuart." So that sounds brilliant. We have to make a beeline for that place.
It looks really nice. It looks very down to earth. It looks like it hasn't changed much since the sort of, you know, 50s, 60s. And I think I would really emphasize the importance. It's such a simple thing, but if you're in a city center and you're looking for a nice pub, just search pub in Google Maps. Yeah. And honestly, you'll get your walkabout 3.6 stars. You'll get your sort of your Green King pub 4.1 stars. But then you get your 4.6s, your 4.7s just a street away. Just allow them to reveal themselves, for goodness sake.
Yeah, nice spot. There used to be a brilliant venue in Spitalfields called Spitz, which isn't open anymore. But they used to have a really good... I wonder if it's kind of around the same neck of the woods, but they used to have a really good program of kind of experimental music and stuff. It was great. But yeah, we'll have to venture down there.
We will do. Our next public crawl will be thence. But I think, I feel the weather is changing, Robin. And can you see down, looking through the cracks in the floorboards, because today there's sort of open, bare floorboards in the Moon Underwater. The carpets have beswained them, Sen. I can just sort of see, I want to say pixies, but I'm not sure if they are pixies, but some kind of magical, miniature magical creatures just dancing below the floorboards, silently. In rhythmical parabolas within each other.
Yeah, they are. They're kind of writhing intensely, like the aura of a migraine, but in a nice way.
Yeah, like an aura of a migraine in a nice way. And I wonder if they've sensed that perhaps our guest is coming.
Possibly.
Well, let's find out. Robin, did you see the unique cloud formations over the moon underwater just now?
Yes, they were sort of shaped like years.
Yeah, shaped like years. And I believe I'm right in saying that every single, perhaps for the first time in this realm, every single cloud type was visible, from the cirrus, the cirrocumulus, the cirrostratus, right down to the altostratus and the altocumulus, and even the nimbostratus, I think, were trying to get their heads in the picture.
Do you have the Wikipedia page of clouds open in your mind? Or is it...
No, I just made up those names.
Oh, you made them up. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I've no idea if they relate to any type of cloud. I just thought they sounded like cloud names to me.
Oh, they really... Well, you convinced me.
Yeah, yeah. But do you know what it is? Sometimes the cloud formations here over the moon underwater do arrange themselves to welcome in guests from the other realm.
Yes.
And I'm assuming that's what's happened here, because now, is that a quadruple rainbow? Could it be? Amongst every type of cloud, a quadruple rainbow. Yes, I think it is, as the sun pushes its last shafts of light through the mist that's beginning to form as the evening rolls in, causing those four, I would say a quadrant of rainbows there. And yes, now it's confirmed, because here at the door, through the frosted and the bow-windowed glass, is this week's guest, Liam Williams.
Good evening. Good evening, gents.
Welcome Hello. To the Moon Underwater, Liam.
Thanks. It's a joy to be here. And I think I maybe got caught up in some rogue frequencies in my transition into this realm, because I'm not sure if my voice quality is coming across well tonight. I hope you can hear me clearly enough. And I'm so excited to be here. I've heard a lot about this place, and I just want to sound good while I'm here, you know?
No, there's a beautiful quality to your voice, a beautiful timbre, if I may be so bold. What do you make of the moon underwater, its fixtures, its fittings, its brasses and its canopies?
I'm immediately charmed by it. I'm absolutely charmed and put at ease and enticed. I feel quite enticed by this place.
Well, it does have a habit of arranging itself towards the tastes and particulars of every guest that enters. And I wanted to start by asking you, Liam, you are... the word comedian doesn't quite cover it, because I see you as much as almost like a commentator through comedy of the world, with a kind of honesty that you don't actually see that much of in stand-up, certainly, but especially in the comic writing you've done. I was a huge fan of Ladhood. I wanted to ask, what kind of a presence are you in a pub, and what kind of a presence is the pub in you?
In both cases, huge. huge, but subtle. I'm not a sort of, I'm not a pub bore in either sense of the word bore. I'm not too, I try not to be too obnoxious and loud and overbearing, but I love to be in the pub and I feel like I'm alive. And the pub comes alive in me.
Because would you say you view the world askance in a pub, or do you view it straight on?
Possibly in the pub is where my view, yeah, straightens itself up a little bit, and I can kind of relieve myself of the burden to look at things so askance. Things make a bit more sense in the pub to me.
Whenever I've seen you do stand up, will at some point during your routine think of Philip Larkin, because you do have an incredible eye for sort of the profound within the domestic and the quite bleak. And I wonder what part, it's almost like you've got a very good hungover brain. So you've got all of the sort of moroseness of a hangover, but without the fog, because you're able to articulate it. And I wonder, does a hangover play a part in your worldview more than alcohol does? To put it in a slightly more succinct way, you sound like I feel when I'm hungover but can't quite express.
Oh, thanks, John. That's so nice. I suppose I write more often hungover than drunk. So I guess in that sense the hungover mindset kind of infuses the stuff I write more than the drunken mindset. I guess, yeah, I kind of, the only difference between hungover life and normal life for me is whether I feel sick.
Right.
Kind of emotionally, there's not much difference.
Okay. So it's not like if you had sort of a week off booze, you'd jump out of bed with a spring in your step and click your heels and say, "What have you got for me, day?"
Yeah, to an extent, definitely if you like could somehow like collect a big data set on that, I think you'd notice a slight like improvement in me and my general demeanor when I wasn't hungover. But there are definitely days like, because I, you know, like most you know, sort of anxious people in their 30s will do phases of not drinking, you know, as some kind of atonement and kind of a gesture of apology to my body and specifically liver. But I, during those times, often marvel at like, oh, I don't feel much better at all. You know, I think, oh, I always thought that these things I feel were because I drink too much. And then it's interesting to still feel them when you're not drinking at all.
That's what's so interesting about Ladhood, I think, is it's about kind of tracing back the person you are now to the person you were then, and kind of seeing the similarities in some way. There's something similar going on with kind of what you just said there, that kind of almost you can't escape yourself quality. I think that's a big part of Ladhood.
Yeah, well, thanks. And thanks for watching and taking Ladhood seriously. Yeah, and I suppose after a certain point, you realise you can't really escape yourself, and you can only kind of learn to get on with yourself, like a sort of middle-aged couple trying to make their marriage work. You know, you have to just kind of try and hold that relationship with yourself together for the kids. Yeah. You know?
Yeah,
that's such an amazing way of seeing existence.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you're married to yourself. Yeah, it's true.
So, Liam, you were born in Garforth. What was the pub scene in your formative pub years?
Yeah, so Garforth's a small town near Leeds of, I don't know, I reckon maybe something like 10,000 people live there, and would have, back then when I was growing up, like 4 or 5 pubs, quite a number of pubs. And going back now, I have to say, no shade on Garforth, because I'm very fond of the place, and people I find from, that I grew up with, occasionally find things like podcasts I do and stuff on the internet. So in case they're listening, I don't want to be rude about the place, but like, not pubs now that I sort of look forward to revisiting with a sort of twinkling sense of nostalgia. But at the time, they were... What they made me think, what my growing up made me think pubs are like community hubs. Like, all generations, you know, people from like 18 to 80 would go to the pub on a Saturday night, and you would talk to people of all different ages, and okay, look, they're mostly white, lower middle class or working class people from Leeds, but within that sort of milieu and demographic, you kind of get to know everybody in the town. But even when I do go to those pubs now, I feel like fewer people turn up, and there's less of this sense of the whole town coming together on a Friday, Saturday night. But I did fall in love with pubs in that phase of my life. And then different pubs took on a different identity of the sort of five or six pubs in the town. Each one would have a different sort of meaning. And that was slightly revolving. It was kind of hard to there would be the pubs where the younger people tended to go, but they might, I suppose it was whether people were taking drugs or not. Like, I guess some pubs would suddenly, people would be taking drugs there and it would become more raucous and a bit dodgy and it would get a bad rep. And so there'd be a couple of the pubs where you could kind of guarantee fighting. And when you're young, I don't know, somehow I found that quite exciting. Even though I didn't really want to fight myself, I liked to kind of watch it. And then people from a different town would come and sort of wait outside. And then when everybody left the pub, they'd be waiting in the street. And then there'd be a big brawl in the street where nobody really hit each other, but everyone sort of ran at each other like a sort of children's playground game. And then the police would come and everyone would get a kebab.
So could you give us some of the names of these pubs and perhaps a word of their... Because you said each one of them had a different feeling, a different emotion for you.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, I always get told when we're doing Ladhood, like, we can't call the pubs by their real names in the show, for example, but that's, I suppose, the BBC are terrified of getting sued, which you guys probably aren't in the same way, so...
Not at all.
Within reason.
Yeah, the big one was the Gascoigne, which is named after a local landowner of yore, Lord Gascoigne, which I suppose hints at a... There's a sort of soft ideology implied in a lot of pub names, aren't there? That there's often a sort of monarchical or aristocratic nomenclature involved. But at the time, you just don't really... No one even knew who Gascoigne was. We just go to the Gascoigne, and its nickname was the Gas House, which summed up its vibe a bit more. That was like the pub where fighting might happen. And it was slightly like... It was one of those pubs that kind of... vaguely became a nightclub on a Friday, Saturday night.
Oh, God. It sounds so like Thornbury, where we went to school.
Yeah, well, it's sort of a satellite... It's a satellite market town of I guess, Bristol and Gloucester. So because it had so many pubs, it would act as a bit of a magnet for all the other satellite towns for when people weren't going into Bristol.
And there are two big schools nearby, so it's just a huge going-out place for the kind of teens and... under
not so. Under teens,
not under teens, I mean
you have 12 year olds in the pub.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, you know,
legal,
I mean.
Teens and illegal teens.
Exactly, yeah, exactly,
yeah. So the Gascoigne, but then it's a very nice garden. That's the thing, there's always something to redeem a pub, I find.
Often with pubs, like all the pubs in an area, you sort of want to take one element from each and combine them into a mega pub.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what Orwell gets at in the Moon Underwater essay, isn't it? That he's, yeah, like, I've been to many pubs that have at least a couple of these elements. But
never all of them. Yeah.
Never all 10 or whatever. the Gascoigne. And then next, very near the Gascoigne, was the Miner's Arms. So Garforth, a long time ago, was a mining town. But like before the sort of pit closed. It was in that sort of part of Yorkshire, but the pit was closed like 100 years ago or something. So there's Miner's Arms, which was, another small town pub where... this is what I'm saying about it was so arbitrary as to, like, which pub was the one to go to at whatever time, because really they were kind of all the same, and yet somehow it was this thing of, oh, you shouldn't... No, no one goes to Miner's anymore. You'll go down Gascoigne now, you know. Oh, I've been down there, and it's shit down there now. And there's no reason it was shit, except people sort of decided... The Podger, which is a miner's tool, I think. So this mining imagery was and theme was a big part of the pub names. The Crusader, which had, as you might imagine, quite a lot of England flags on it, but a good pool table. Then there was the New Market, I guess named after the racecourse. That was on the main street. That had that quality of being like a pub you might pop into for a half in the middle of doing your chores, you know, like you've got to get to the butcher's and, you know, then the baker's and then you might get a swift one in the New Market. And then there was a pub called the Gaping Goose, which was at the other side of town, which I never went, I've never been to, I don't think, but I gather is actually the pub that now I might be happiest in. I think it's more of a real ale pub, you know, I think it's a quieter, slightly more salubrious pub. And then there was one that did become quite important to me called the Bird in Hand, which was like a real estate pub, like it's bang in the middle of a quiet estate. And it was again just like a pub like all the others for many years until my friend took it over about the time I was just going off to uni and I was coming back to Garforth. And I suppose when I'd been to uni, I suddenly had an appreciation for a quiet pub. Like, I was like, oh, pubs, it's sometimes nicer to go to the pub, sit with one friend for the evening and talk and not, like, you know, to be able to hear yourself think and speak and not worry that you're about to get punched either deliberately or accidentally. And so this pub, largely because of, I think that's what I'm saying about the role of an estate pub in small towns like Garforth. Suddenly, it was less of a thing. Like it wasn't this thing that everybody in the state goes to the pub on a Friday evening. I guess more people stay in, or they might go into town, go to restaurants and things. So this pub was kind of declining anyway. And probably also because my friend was managing it so badly, nobody turned up. But that was kind of perfect for me. And it actually was, it did have some nice fixture. It had those like brass elephant heads on the bar, you know. You know, when the bar's kind of propped up by a little brass elephant and its trunk is kind of part of the actual structure of the bar. So there was some quite attractive elements of the decor, and it was kind of dead and yeah.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, I'm Adam Hurry, host of Football Clichés, a truly unique podcast brought to you by The Athletic. Twice a week, my guests and I tear apart the language of football, the words, the phrases, the mannerisms, and the weird habits of everyone involved in the game. From the shoes that football pundits are legally required to wear, to the didn't play for Sam Allardyce's Bolton but really should have done 11, Football Clichés explores all the tiny things that you didn't realise you cared about, but believe me, you do.
We now move away from the pubs you couldn't choose, the pubs you couldn't design or change, to your dream pub of the mind, Liam. And you mentioned there that perhaps after university you would have been more into real ale than when you were a teenager. So I'm going to ask you for your first two choices, and these are your draft choices, the two items in your fantasy pub that you can have on draft. What are you going to have?
Well, I'm a sort of aspiring real ale drinker, but in actuality, I'm a lager head. I'm a lager boy. In fact, I am part of a group of drinkers who meets once a year, sometimes twice a year, and do a pub crawl for the last couple of years in York, including in this group.
Bluebell?
Yeah, Bluebell is certainly yeah, the number one. There's one on the list. Kieran Hodgson is in, the comedian Kieran Hodgson is in this group as well. You should get him on this. He can speak so beautifully about pubs. He appreciates pubs. And my nickname in the group is Lager Liam.
Ooh. Is that a disparaging... Because didn't Hobgoblin had that marketing thing, what's the matter, Lager boy, afraid of the dark stuff?
Afraid you might taste something.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
It is pretty disparaging, but it's tongue-in-cheek. But I like an ale, but I find it gives me... Too many give me a headache. But my first draft choice is going to be an ale, out of a sense of reverence for what is really a superior drink, deserves top billing. And if there's one ale, I prefer a bitter in general to say a golden ale or an amber ale. But I'm going to choose Woodford's Wherry.
Mm. Ooh.
Do you know this?
No.
Oh, I don't know that.
I think it might be Southwold.
I'll have to look it up in the old brain box.
I drink this in Norfolk. My parents love to go to Norfolk every year, and I'll try and go over there. I guess Woodford is the brewery, yeah, and the beer is called Wherry. It is an amber ale, actually, but it's quite dark. It's almost like a bitter.
I love it when beer websites ask you to say that you're over 18 before entering. In my mind, Wherry, yes.
A wherry's a kind of boat, I think.
Set sail on an epic taste adventure.
Hang on. Are we talking about West Coast Wherry?
No, Woodford's Wherry.
Yeah. Woodford's... I can't find it in my mind. Oh, here we go. Oh, lovely.
So your mind is what you guys call the internet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Never heard of the internet. You don't get the internet in the moon underwater.
Okay.
We're in a realm free from the everyday wires. But Wherry, 3.8%. Oh, and you can get it in cans and in bottles as well. And in a mini keg.
For me, it's like I would never source it. I'd never kind of try to kind of chase it in that way. I like the... What I like about ales is like... I really do associate them with my dad, I guess. And like I hear him speak sort of excitedly about particular... Another one is Timothy Taylor's Landlord, because his dad liked that, which is pretty ubiquitous these days. But something like Wherry... I like that you just see it now and again on the card, you know, on the pump. And that feels serendipitous, you know. I must have one because it's here. You know, I don't want to seek it out so much.
It's a former champion beer of Britain. The highest award in the realm.
I like beers like that where it's like, you know, if they got Otter on or, you know, a Chiswick you don't see very often. So it's like if there's a beer you don't see very often, then you go for it because, you know, it's a bit of a treat.
Yeah, it's like Pokemons or something. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. gotta drink them all. Don't drink them all.
What's your second draft choice, Liam?
Yeah, so as I say, I like lager, but they all kind of taste the same, if we're honest. Some are a bit less bland than others. But one lager, one kind of lager that stands out for me is Black Lager, and I don't remember the name of the brewer. It's a German brewer. It's something like Eastler,
and it's black in color.
Yeah, it's black in color, and it has a bit more richness of flavor, but it's still like refreshing, crisp, and light like a lager. It is a lager with intense flavor.
I've got one here called Kostritzer Schwarzbier. Kostritzer?
Yeah, I don't know if it's specific. I think it's more of a thing in Germany in general. I imagine,
yeah,
you know, if you can find a black lager somewhere, it'll probably be pretty good. I don't know if it has to be this specific. I would take it. So I'm saying any black lager, a German
wow.
black lager.
Augustina do one.
Oh, that looks like a headache in a glass. I've got to say that.
No, but it's not really. It oddly is. It goes down very, very well. Yeah. And my local, the florist here in Bethnal Green, which is a lovely pub.
Oh, yeah, I love that florist, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, next time you're in, get a black lager. It's good stuff.
Sure.
And it looks like you're drinking something more interesting than a lager. It kind of looks like you're drinking a Guinness, really.
In Germany, they call it Schwarzbier, understandably, which means black beer.
Yeah.
Okay, so a Schwarzbier, one of the big ones does seem to be a Kostritzer. But yeah, okay. I've never even heard of black lager before. Guinness do one. Incredible. Incredible.
Does it have that kind of malty taste of Guinness? Then, kind of like that.
It's not quite as malty as Guinness, but it's there's something of that. Yeah, maybe it's nudging. It's more. It's maltier than a lager, and it's that slight richness. There's just like a bit more of a rounded flavor.
And it's still served cold, obviously. Then,
but it's served cold, and it's crisp and light. Yeah, it's not as kind of creamy as a Guinness.
What sort of pub would these draft choices be in? What do you imagine when you're sort of walking down the alleys, thinking, "I just want the perfect pub to reveal itself"? What do you hope to see?
It depends. It's contextual, isn't it? But if I know, you know, we can't consider every possible context, so I've got to find some sort of perfect platonic evening in my mind. A dark interior. Well, firstly, the exterior, an interesting old building, certainly early 20th century, if not older. I don't romanticise later 20th century architecture in the same way, so certainly for pubs. And with some hanging baskets, for example, certainly some sort of foliage, interesting tiling on the outside. And then inside, dark, maybe mostly candlelit, about half full, with nooks and crannies, interesting spaces. That sort of warm bloom of air, the plume of air that hits you, and maybe there's some food or a pleasant smell, not quite a Wetherspoon's smell, but also with that musky human smell that I missed a lot during the pandemic. You know, I only kind of remembered it.
It's sort of halfway between breath and sweat.
Yeah, and just like pheromones, I guess, as well. Right?
But like the sort of condensation that you get when you walk past a pub and you can't see in because the windows are all... They've gone past being sort of frosted up. It's not frost, it's just breath.
Yeah.
Obviously, which has come to reveal its darker side over the past 2 years. Yeah. But I love that phrase, the warm bloom of air. Yeah. I love that. What a beautiful way of words.
I think I corrected it to plume.
Yeah, but I preferred the mistake.
All right.
I like a bloom of air.
What's your favourite? Does it exist? Pour me an ale. Are pubs real? Pubs in the distance. Enshrouded in mist. Are pubs real?
On top of your black lager and your Woodford's Wherry, you've got two bottles or cans that you can add to the fridge or outside the fridge.
Now, it strikes me that you're a big can man. There's that great scene in the first series of Ladhood where you do Dry January and you're saying, yeah, it's fine. And you're literally counting down the minutes to midnight and you crack open. Is it a Chisky you have in that scene? I can't remember now.
Well, it would have been a fake, you know, it would have been a BBC lager. But I guess the design was for it to look like Polish, yeah.
Right, yeah. But yeah, do cans feature heavily here, or are you going for a bottle?
Well, I do like, I love a tinny, but I wouldn't drink tinnies in the pub. I slightly distrust that. I'm going for bottles, and I struggled a little bit with this. I think in the end, I'm going to go for a Dourer. You know, Dourer?
All these new words.
It's a gluten-free lager.
Wow.
How do you spell it?
D-A-U-R-A.
I always see it in the gluten-free aisle of the supermarket and think, I should try that.
It's not bad. And I suppose I'm putting this in for other people, you know? I'm aware of my gluten-free patrons, and Dourer seems to be the best. Like, it's nice. It's a really nice lager.
So, is it made by Estrella?
Yeah, I think it is. I think
Estrella Damdaura. Interesting. There's a really nice gluten-free lager called, I think it's called Celia.
Like celiac.
Yeah. And I had to judge, I think it was a like vegetarian beer awards or something. And Celia, even though I'm not a lager drinker, really stood out. But I'm interested by this Estrella Daura Dam. Mm. Yeah, it looks very nice.
So why are you going for gluten-free then? So it's not just, it's to make it more accessible for others, you're saying? Or?
Yeah, I mean, is that a necessary consideration in this, I suppose?
You can have a perfectly solipsistic pub if you want, or you can make it for other people. You know, it's entirely up to you.
Yeah, I think the pub shouldn't be entirely solipsistic. You can have solipsistic, in fact, in the main, the pub is not solipsistic. So this is my way of thinking of others. But I also quite like to drink a Daura. And I sometimes wonder, like, there are times where I'll drink non-alcoholic beers. And I kind of end up feeling as bad as when I've drunk a lot of alcoholic beers. And I think, is it the wheat or something else in this drink? Like, so I wonder if gluten is actually, if I'm a little intolerant of it or something, so.
Well, the Daura Dam is 5.4%, so it's a little on the spicy side, but obviously the smaller milliliterage because it's in a bottle. What about your second choice?
So I think I'm actually going to go, I saw on your briefing notes that this can be a soft drink, and I thought it's sensible to have a soft drink because sometimes, sadly, you can't always have a glass of booze in the pub. Sometimes you've got to be sensible. And so my soft drink of choice would be an apple tizer. Is that what you could say? Apple tizer. That's that. If I have to have a soft drink, I'm going to have an apple tizer.
And would you ever mix that with anything should the mood take you? Or is this just for Stone Cold Steve sober nights?
If the meeting goes very well, stick a vodka in it. No, I probably wouldn't mix that. No. I'd jump on to something else if it were time to make the switch.
You don't see a hell of a lot of apple ties knocking around these days, do you?
I associate it with childhood. We used to go to a great pub near York called the Ebor, which I think was like a really, like before Sam Smith's became this like national kind of franchise, they were more localised in, I think there was a few in London and dotted around, but mostly in Yorkshire. And there's a great one in York called the Ebor, which I think like is kind of the only one that doesn't have to have the like generic menu and all the franchising of all the other Sam Smiths, because the landlord's such a sort of legend, Gordon. I don't know if he's still there. But we used to go there. My dad and granddad loved it, and we'd go there. It was a great family pub. It had that thing that, like, I was rereading the Orwell essay, and when he talks about the importance of the garden and the kids playing in the garden, I guess actually I fell in love with pubs at that as a child on a summer's evening, running around in the garden. I think I had gammon and chips for my dinner with a slice of pineapple. And like the parents were, you know, the adults are all happier than you ever see them otherwise. And you don't really understand that at the time, but, you know, it makes sense now. And apple ties was the drink that I favoured at that time. So, yeah, I guess that's probably why. It's my soft drink of choice.
I love that idea of a child sort of noticing that their parents are happier or sort of getting on better or having a good time but not really understanding why.
Yeah.
As you just sort of come to this garden.
I think we've mentioned this before, but there's that slight mystery about it because at that time, you were as a child, you weren't allowed into the pub, you know, so you'd be outside in the garden. So the pub itself had a kind of air of mystery. It was just your parents would go in and come out.
Yeah. What's going on in there?
Yeah.
Why can't I go in there?
They'd come out being slightly transformed.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of being slightly transformed, it's time now for the lovely Robin Allender to transform our minds with the Moon Underwater Pub Quiz.
Okay, everybody, pens out, eyes down, it's time for the quiz. He played for Zimbabwe, but he was born in South Africa. I know Alaska is bigger. That wasn't the question. Put your phone away. Right, Michael Jackson's Funky Monkey has been deducted 5 points.
Thanks, John. Liam, how do you feel about pub quizzes? Are you a fan? Or?
I love them. I absolutely love pub quizzes.
Really? Great.
Yeah.
Good. So what we're going to do now, we've just got three questions, and then we'll go to a break and give us all a chance to ruminate, and then I'll go through the answers and we can see how well you all did. So this week, because of Ladhood's kind of specific setting of the noughties, I've got three questions about the musical genre known as landfill indie. How do you think you'll fare, Liam?
Well, I'm going to approach this quite hubristically. I think I've like made public my claim of expertise about landfill indie.
Could you explain what landfill indie is to listeners who might not know?
Yeah, and I've never heard of it.
You've never heard of landfill indie?
No.
You worked for XFN for ages.
No, they had a feature called Indie Landfill.
Yeah, that's the same. Yeah, that's the same thing.
Yeah, I guess it's the indie music that sort of proliferated in the middle and then the late 2000s that was like taking cues from, I don't know, who were the good bands? I mean, I guess the good bands were like on the back of an interesting like post-punk tradition. And then it's this new thing, indie. It's not the same as Britpop, you know, there's Block Party and Arctic Monkeys. And then suddenly there was like just 100 bands. Some of them were very good. Or they'd have like one good song on a mediocre album. But there was just suddenly too many bands to keep track of. And you look back and they all looked the same and kind of sounded the same. And it was, yeah.
It was kind of like, it gets much derided, but as you say, there were some really good bands around then as well. Like I'm very fond of the Cribs and the Young Knives.
Love the Cribs. Yeah.
Really good. So let's go to our questions and we can see how well we all do. Okay, so question number one is, who had a hit with Let's Dance to Joy Division in 2007? Okay, so who had a hit with Let's Dance to Joy Division in 2007? Okay, question two. Last year, Vice magazine published a list of the top 50 greatest landfill indie songs of all time. What was number one? Liam's got a kind of smile on his face here.
No, it was a kind of grimace, more of a grimace, I think. Like a sort of brain-searching grimace.
Question three, which landfill indie song contains the lyric, "When she wakes up in the morning, she writes down all her dreams, reads like the Book of Revelations or the Beano or the unabridged Ulysses." I mean, why would you read the abridged Ulysses? Come on, get with it. Anyway, so those are the three questions. And yeah, let's see how well we did after the break.
That's right, folks. As you head off into the hinterland briefly to recharge your glass, pop to the loo, or to donate to the Moon Underwater podcast by heading to patreon.com/moonunderpod or moonunderpod.com for all the ways to follow us and interact with us. You can also send your emails to john@moonunderpod.com on any of the topics we've discussed, whether it be pubs we've loved, pubs we've lost, interesting or unique pub names, or pub fantasies. Whatever pub-based correspondence you want to send, put it out into the mist via john@moonunderpod.com. Hold fast, hold steady, and we will see you back in part two.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.